You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We got Jeff Van Gundy with us here, so let's talk some basketball. And first and foremost, Coach, we haven't talked to you since, I mean, it was all over, Jeff Van Gundy interviewing for the Rockets job and everything else. What about the Jeff Van Gundy, head basketball coach in the NBA again? You know, we like Jeff Van Gundy, the guy who's always happy, because as coach, that's a different face you have to put on, right? So
I don't know if you have to, but you probably, you know, you guys probably saw a different face at times. But I'll tell you what, I don't think I ever looked, or I didn't feel as miserable maybe as I looked sometimes. You know, the Rockets, like I interviewed for two jobs. I got offered an interim head coaching job back in the middle of last season. I didn't think it was a great fit. I interviewed for two jobs. The Clippers, they hired a great coach in Ty Lue, and the Rockets, and, you know, after discussing with them a number of times, it just wasn't the right fit for either side. They got a tremendous coach in Stephen Silas. I worked with Stephen's dad in my first NBA job. We were both assistants with the New York Knicks, Paul Silas. So I've known Stephen since he was probably 15. You're not going to find a better man or a more well-prepared coach. I mean, he's been an assistant for so many different coaches in the NBA. He's got a brilliant mind. He's such a great person. He's got many challenges ahead as they figure out their roster and, you know, how they want to adapt and adjust from last year's team to this year's team. But they found themselves a terrific coach. And I got to say, I was really impressed through the whole process with Rafael Stone. I didn't know him as well as I knew Daryl, even though Rafael was there in the legal department when I was first there. But he was thorough and he's smart.
Good.
And the Fertitta family, I thought was really, really good. They asked the right questions. They seemed very, very invested in not just winning, but winning big and winning championships. So I think they have a lot of positives going for them. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all sort of meshes together as they figure out their roster.
Coach, I'm curious. So you were with the Rockets with Carroll Dawson as GM, and then Daryl Morey came into the mix while you were there and was part of some big trades, including the Tracy McGrady deal, which, you know, I think really altered the course of what the Houston Rockets were going to be. Can you talk for a second about his departure and what you thought of his time? Because you obviously have kept up with Daryl. You followed the Rockets, clearly. What do you think about the time that he spent with Houston? What are your thoughts about the quote-unquote, some people believe it's a failing to not win a championship. What did you think about the direction?
Well, the thing first of all, I like Daryl very much. I think he is really smart, but he also recognizes other people are really smart too. And so he has confidence, but he also has humility. And from the day I met him, when he walked in to the Rockets facility, he had strong beliefs, and yet that didn't mean he diminished your experiences or your beliefs as a coach. So the thing I admired about the Rockets during this whole time is they proved that you can contend without tanking. You don't need to do it like some other people do, which is, you know, we'll like lose for a long time and then we'll try to get top picks and do it like Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, you know, they're coming out the other side and maybe it will ultimately work. But what I loved about Daryl, Les Alexander first, now Tillman Fertitta, is that they wanted to give Houston and Houston's fans a great product as they tried to build their team. And that doesn't mean there weren't some, you know, just okay years. You know, I think Daryl had a 42-40 record one year, 43-39, but they never they never, ever gave a product to their fans that they weren't trying to win. And ultimately, Daryl swung big. He got the trade for Harden. He got the trade for Paul, which, you know, they were one hamstring or one made three-point shot away from a championship. That's how close they came. And I don't think Daryl or anybody with the Rockets organization has anything to be ashamed about that they weren't able to get it done. They took a great swing. They went after a tremendous champion in Golden State. And if not for the Chris Paul injury, if not for, you know, a historic bad shooting night in Game 7, to me, they would have been champions. And Daryl did a tremendous job during his 14 years here, and he should be very, very proud of all he accomplished.
Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. Now, one of the challenges that that Stephen Silas is going to have is whether or not he's going to have his stars. There's a lot of smoke, Coach, and where there's a lot of times where there's a lot of smoke, there's fire. What do you think about what's going on with Harden and Russell Westbrook right now?
Yeah, you know, I got to speak to Russell Westbrook during the course of the interview process, and I got to tell you, I was really impressed with his directness, with his honesty about what he wanted for his next chapter, you know, and what he thought he should do, how he should be used, and he did it all in a very, very respectful manner. So I think players in the offseason, they have to try to, you know, that's business time when they're trying to do what's best for themselves, just like teams do with trades and all that. And so we shouldn't begrudge players who try to, at the proper times, do what's best for themselves. Now, Harden may want certain things that don't actually come to fruition, and then they have to put that behind them and move forward. And I believe those two guys love basketball enough and are competitive enough that they won't sabotage or try to sabotage the team if they don't get exactly what they want. But it is a difficult situation. I don't know exactly if it's all true that they both want out or they both play basically the same position where, you know, they're point guards who need the ball. And I don't know all that, but I can tell you from my conversations with Westbrook, I was very impressed with his thought process, with how respectful he was. And, you know, hopefully it works out where both guys want to stay, they play well, and they take another shot at it, because it's hard to find great, great players. And when you trade a great, great player, particularly when you trade a great player in his prime, you can get a lot back, but it's impossible, basically, to win that type of deal.
You think the Rockets, you know, I think understanding when a run is over or when to pivot in a different direction, I'm not saying blow things up. I'm saying at some point you have to pivot. You have to know with what you have, whether you're Astros, Texans, Rockets. Every professional team has to, Coach. How difficult do you think that process is of being self-aware, being honest about your what you have, and the willingness to do something that's difficult to do, like pivot, after you've had such a run?
Well, it is hard. You make a great point, Lance, in that particularly when you have a great player like James Harden, you know how hard it is to acquire someone like that. It doesn't come around often, although in Houston, they have been remarkable in finding, drafting, procuring, like, top talents. But they do have, and that's a really hard decision for Rafael Stone. You know, he just takes over, and what, a month ago or so? And these are all difficult decisions. But again, the thing that I was impressed about, you know, going through the process and listening to them talk, they're not going to be bullied. They're not going to be afraid to do what they think is right, regardless of, you know, public perception. And so one of the things, and I don't know if you guys would agree with it in your profession, but I certainly believe it, both in coaching, announcing, whatever it may be, is you can't accept criticism from someone you wouldn't ask advice from. And I think, you know, the Fertitta family, Rafael Stone, Steven Silas, as they're making these hard decisions, they just have to figure out what they think is best and then pull the trigger and be sort of like trying to cut out all the noise that can interfere with good decision making. If they do that, you know, these are hard decisions. There's not going to be an immediate right or wrong. It's going to be, you know, what they do next. If they pivot, you know, what do they do next? How do they do it efficiently? If they don't, and they stick with Harden and Westbrook, how do they surround them, those two guys, with complementary pieces so that they give themselves the best chance to play deep into the playoffs?
John played a little game yesterday. Play it with Coach, or ask him, why is it that we say, all right, if you offered James for Kawhi, would they do it? No. There's no chance the Clippers do it. If you offered James for Giannis, would they do it? No. We're talking about one of the greatest scorers in the history of the game and an elite player. But John went through a series of players and asked me, would they do it? And he and I both came to the same conclusion, no, for most of the very best players in the league. And I'm wondering if that's we live in our own Houston bubble, or if this is a reality. And if it's a reality, doesn't that make James one of the most enigmatic players of all time, to where you have this incredible talent and yet there is some hesitation to trade one of your best players, even a guy like, you know, we were talking about guys like Jason Tatum.
Luka.
We got down to, they wouldn't move Luka for James.
No.
But Jason, would they do it for Jason Tatum? Would you do it for Devin Booker?
But the Celtics have said they don't have interest in James.
It seems strange.
I never believe people. I don't believe people, like, because it's not open to them right now. They say it to boost their own guy's value as much as they do to, like, negate what maybe somebody else has done. I think when you talk about Harden, a lot of those answers of no in your mind is because of age, right? So if a guy's 8-9 years older, most likely and they're on an ascension to a path of stardom,
correct,
you're probably not going to trade them. So that eliminates some. I think the other part, and I think it's fair, is that at times Harden has been so dominant in the regular season, but has had some games that have been perplexing in the playoffs. And I think that's where maybe some indecision in your mind about would they trade player X for Harden or not, I think that's where it comes from. And it's fair, but when you look about what James Harden has accomplished in the regular season, these aren't overwhelmingly talented teams that he's led deep into the playoffs. There's a lot of gaps and holes. He's been surrounded by good players. And with Paul and Westbrook, obviously they're going to go into the Hall of Fame. But it's not like he's been, you know, given a team like the Warriors with, you know, Durant, Green, and Thompson surrounding Steph Curry. This man has put a team consistently on his back from the first game he came here, where I think he had one practice and he got 44, until this point. And whether they continue to go on in this manner with him on the team, or they decide that it's time to, as you said, Lance, pivot, I don't know. But James Harden, you know, you have to respect the greatness, and you also have to respect, for all that's talked about with him, the durability to play on a nightly basis and deliver in a huge way with a moderately talented team around him. And they have won at this high, high rate because of some excellent coaching, James Harden's greatness, and some strategic thinking by the front office.
Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, can you do me a favor? Can you fix the NBA draft? It's so hard. The 76ers take him, but he puts the hat on, and then it's like 2 seconds later. Wait, Darryl, he's a Knick.
Well, wait. You thought Darryl made a pick in the first round? Yes, that's on you for being that gullible.
No, I didn't say that. Listen, the Rockets don't pick anybody ever. That we know. But here's the deal, Coach. Isn't it hard to follow?
It is, because, you know, my brother's now back, so he's with the Pelicans. I got my man Thibodeau with the Knicks and Clifford with the Magic. So I'm trying to keep track of, like, who they actually drafted and who they traded. I wish they were able to say, like, and I know probably for salary cap purposes and all that, the league can't allow that. But it is, John, it's hard to follow. You almost have to, like, be reading Woj's tweets. Yeah. Along with watching the draft to figure out actually who's going to play on whose team.
And you can't do that because you don't have Twitter, Coach.
Yeah, how are you going to do it?
No, you know, I can't, right? I mean, you're right. I'd have to do it some other way. But, like, it is hard. You know, you see those things that there's a pending trade or, you know, they like. But it's like, it is a little confusing. I think everybody right now feels a little rushed. When it comes to the NBA season, you've got draft, now you got free agency, and then practice starts in like 10 days. It's just, you know, these are crazy times worldwide, but certainly for the NBA fan, this has been like a whirlwind this next 10 days.
By the way, speaking of your brother, can you get him off the Astros' ass?
Yeah, oh my God. What's
his deal?
Get him off of our ass. Quit. Why are they acting like nobody has ever done it? I can't wait.
Stop. But your brother, wait, what's he? Out of nowhere.
Are you guys like...
No. You know what? See, I had this... I just had this talk yesterday on a New York radio show because they were asking me if I was still an Astros fan. And was I rooting for them this year? And I said, listen, you can be... But it doesn't have to be one or the other. I can be a huge Astros fan. I can root for the players and the team and at the same time acknowledge that I thought the investigation by Major League Baseball and suspending only Hinch and Lunau and not the players was wrong. And I can also acknowledge that it does taint the championship in my mind a little bit. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they're not champions. That doesn't mean I need, like, a huge everyday apology. But I thought they flubbed their initial apology. And I think that garnered them the ridicule of baseball fans like my brother. And at the same time, who cares what he thinks? Like, we're champions. And I believe we have great players. We have had great managers, great management, and ownership that cares deeply about winning. So, yeah, we screwed up. I didn't like how we handled the screw up, but like you guys said, and it's no excuse, but this is not the first nor the last quote scandal where people have tried to find an edge outside of the rules.
No. It's baseball. They've been cheating forever, ever, ever.
It doesn't excuse it.
No,
but
it doesn't. Yeah, no. And I'm disappointed in the team. Coach, I feel exactly the way you do. I'm disappointed in the guys.
But your brother is all over.
Yeah, get him off our ass, okay?
You know what, though? But see, that's the problem. You know, like, this dude is like, first of all, he's got to get a baseball team other than, I don't know who he's rooting for now. But he changes like the wind.
Oh, that's so weak.
One of those guys.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, you know, who knows who he's rooting for right now? And, you know, come on. It's over. It's been over a year. Let it go. And we got Dusty Baker. Well, how can you root against Dusty Baker?
No, it's impossible.
You can't root against Dusty Baker?
No, it's impossible. Impossible. Jeff Van Gundy.
I really like Dusty.
Yeah, no, we do.
I didn't know how much I would like him. I really do.
Yeah, really, and the players love him. Love him.
You know you know who told me that was Mark Jackson. He said, listen, I know you guys have lost some fans. When you hired Dusty, you gained some fans. Everybody loves Dusty. You know? So
That is great. That is great. Yeah. Hey, man, we appreciate it. ProVision is the benefactor of our golf tournament. It's December 3rd. I think you're going to get outbid here. Greg, the beer man, he said, I'm coming in.
Okay, and tell him, however high he goes, I will match. He can keep the foursome, but I will match.
Well, however high you go, coach is going to match that offer. For those of you just joining us, threesome, three of you and me, we're going to play December 3rd at Wildcat in our golf tournament, and we want you to bid. The coach has already bid $2,000 to play with me on December 3rd, but we want that to go way up, and coach will match whatever anybody bids to play with me on December 3rd at the our occasional golf tournament, and ProVision is the benefactor. So that is awesome, awesome stuff. Hey, Coach, great talking to you. I really was shocked that you were looking for an NBA job. When you're making Tony Romo money, I can't even believe that you're...
I don't know what Romo makes. I get taken care of very well at ESPN, but I would just say this. That when I can start predicting plays like Romo can, then my salary should go up. That guy is awesome.
Well, how about Jim Nance's guy? He's doing a deal with CBS now, and he says, I want Tony Romo money. Jim Nance doesn't have Tony Romo money. No. That's how good Tony Romo.
Right before the play, Tony will circle who's about to get the catch.
Ball. He's going
to
get the ball here.
This guy right here.
That is amazing. That's unbelievable. That is amazing.
I should do that with LeBron.
Yeah. Wait. You could do that with James
Harden.
It looks like he's going to dribble
here.
Watch
for the step back here, Mark.
Yeah. I think Harden's going to have the ball in this possession more than 8 times. Yeah. Come on.
Coach, man, we appreciate it. It's always great talking to you. And thanks so much for the bid. Everybody, come on. Let's bid it up. 713-780-3776. Coach, we appreciate
it. Thanks again, guys.
All right. There's Coach Jeff Van Gundy with us here on ESPN 97.5. I'm talking about ZipRecruiter. Those are my peeps over there. You want to talk about you looking for a job? The coach was looking for a job. I'll bet you that Tillman said, hey, let's go through ZipRecruiter. Oh, here's the best candidate for the job, Jeff Van Gundy. But here's the deal, is that's the kind of matchups that you could get with your business. ZipRecruiter does all the work for you. Their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience. And here's the deal is nowadays there are thousands of resumes out there, and you could get some jamoke that you just, oh my goodness, what a bad choice. But ZipRecruiter weeds all of those out of there, and you have that matching technology actively inviting them to apply for your job, the perfect recruits. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the right ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/John. That's ZipRecruiter.com/John.
ESPN 97.5.